Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Tim Karskadden here, Christian Center's Report, Daily Podcast. I pray you're having a good day and have had a good week. We're breaking down this word about the tearing and the shaking and giving applications of how we should prepare for it. Well, it's upon us. We must be ready. God is gracious to show us how. All right, let's finish this up today.
Over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name. Well, we need His name in the earth. Well, the power of that name, just a decree in the earth. Well, welcome. It is Thursday, the 18th day of May, 2023, and we have tried to exhaust this word we gave in a good way, exhaustive study of the word the Lord gave prophetically in a vision that there's going to be a tearing and a shaking, and we are now bringing the application to that. And I just want to be speaking from my heart today as preparing you, because there's no way to prepare people fully for the tearing and the shaking. Yeah, you can know it's going to come, but you don't know how it's going to manifest and how painful it could be, how difficult it could be, or how rejoicing it could be. You just don't know. You can get clues and insights, but the fact is, until you're in the moment, you don't know. And so we wanted to bring that. As you know, the prophetic has three basic aspects: revelation, interpretation, and application. So we've done that this week. We gave the revelation, the vision. We interpreted it, what's going to happen. And then third, we've been laying the application, what do you do about it? Preparation is critical right now for the days ahead. So you die to self today so you don't have to die to self in the midst of an affliction. And I realize every affliction takes another shot at your flesh until it finally dies. But we want to be like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, no longer I live, I am crucified with Him. And no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. That's what we want to be our testimony. And right now, God is about to release something. I gave an earlier word last week, probably. The Lord said, a major storm was coming. We were in the lull before the storm. And when it comes, the Lord said, the church houses will be filled. And I gave that warning because I think that's going to be some type of an event that will put fear in people's hearts. I personally did not like the term or the words, the church houses. To me, that's a religious term. It's not a spiritual term per se. Because church houses get filled when people are in fear. They need help. They're not there because they just want to spend time there. They came because of a reason. And I felt like God is going to allow that to happen. But we must capture them and say, well, by hook or crook, it doesn't matter. They got there. Let's rescue them. Let's restore them. Let's get them delivered. And let's be in a good place to advance them in the next season, whether they wanted to be there or not. Okay, we can all say it's worked in our life sometimes that way. Well, the tearing, and I cannot describe to you what I saw, but in the vision, because I saw things in people's lives that they did not think they could live without being torn away from them. And they are things that give us comfort, human comfort. I'm not talking about spiritual comfort, human comfort. They bring pleasure to our souls, things like that. That you thought, you know, you couldn't live without. You'll be surprised what you can live without, okay? We were doing this Isaiah 62 fast right now, and I'm doing without a lot of foods that I like, you know, and God's been gracious to do that. That's not really suffering. I'm not suffering. I still have food. I'm not totally fasting. But there are things in our lives that we have to do that, so endurance is the biggest thing. Derek Prince used to teach this. He said, you know, God's going to test us all. And one of the biggest tests he gives us is to wait. And I didn't appreciate his preaching, but I understood what he was saying. And there are times that we just have to wait. And I'm here to decree and declare today the tide is turning. God is turning things around, but the waiting is what grows us spiritually. It's part of the perseverance, gift, and fruit that God puts in our lives. So I have to ask you this question. Do you trust that the end of your trial will result in victory? Do you? Do you trust that because Christ overcame the cross, we can overcome all things? Now, you may say yes to those questions, but do you say yes in the trial? And do you say yes when you're trying to overcome something? When we're not in it, we say, oh, yeah, I know that's true. But when you're in it, you have to say it. Do you trust him to see you through to the end and deliver? And we must always define deliverance the way he does, not the way we do. In Isaiah 5, I was reading the other day, and it says, the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness. See, God gets exalted when he judges things, when he shakes things, when he tears things, because he sees they're not good for us, so he judges them, and justice comes. They get removed, and it says here that he's exalted. Because what happens is his grace becomes sufficient for you in the trial, so that as his grace becomes sufficient, he gets all the glory. When people look at you and see your affliction or what you're going through or what your nation's going through, and they see you keeping faith, not becoming bitter, God gets exalted. Okay, are you still with me? The righteous cry and the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalm 34:17. Not some, but all their troubles. So the righteous, as I just read there, the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness. So the righteous, the holy, because it's his righteousness, the Lord hears and he delivers. It can't be our righteousness. It has to be his in us. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Okay? Many of the afflictions are righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I like this all word, don't you? Psalm 34:22. Great psalm if you're not in it, Psalm 34. But it says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And these are some major promises in this tearing and shaking. How do I prepare? I prepare myself with these truths, the word of God. I get them sown into my heart. I begin to declare them. The Lord, you're going to deliver me out of all my troubles. You're going to deliver me out of all of them. Many are my afflictions, but you're going to deliver me. You're going to redeem my soul, and I will not be desolate. You make those declarations now before the season comes. But do you believe what I'm just saying here? Do you trust that he's making something out of the affliction that we're in, that we're about to go through, that he'll see you to the end to what he's been promising you? If we're not careful, we'll make the mistake that Israel did and die in the wilderness because we didn't believe that God would do what he said he would do. I have to remind myself, that's why you need prophetic destiny, prophetic words over your life, so that when you're in a circumstance that doesn't look anything like that, you can make a declaration, a decree, but Lord, you said, I'm going to make it through. I have a brother we're praying for right now, got a bad diagnosis, a physical diagnosis from the doctors. And yet he had a dream in the midst of it of not only what it was a dream about his future for his family and what God was going to use him and his family in way into the future. Okay? So that is a word you hold on to. That's what we war from, we say. We war from our prophetic words, 1 Timothy 1:18. We war in them. And so a dream like that, well, the doctors keep telling you the bad news, and you've already seen in the spirit, nope, it's not going to happen. I already saw myself in the future. So this is temporary affliction, and he's going to deliver me. I'll not be desolate here. I will prosper in the future. I may have to go through this trial, but I'm going to prosper. So we must believe. They believed in God. They just didn't believe God. Did you get that? And we have to believe him, not just believe in him. They didn't take him at his word. So they failed to enter the promised land. Perseverance is looking past the suffering of the cross to the joy on the other side. That's what Jesus did, right? For the cross set before him, he endured the cross. Remember this. Every cross, it's a spiritual law, every cross has to have a resurrection. That's a spiritual law. Jesus wouldn't ask us to bear our cross, take up our cross, if he didn't have plans for resurrection. He does. Put that in your theological oven and cook that. Let it cook real well inside of you. And of course, we always know Jeremiah 29:11, the thoughts that he has toward us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future and hope. So Jeremiah was giving the people hope that God would restore them as a nation. And his people, after 70 years, remember he prophesied that, he knew what was coming. He preached what was coming. It was pretty ugly. But he reminded the people that in the end, God would restore his people. Fast forward to Daniel. He's in captivity. Remember, Jeremiah prophesies them into captivity. They go into captivity. They've been persecuted. They're going through all their trials. They're losing their faith. They're not reading the Torah. They're not reading the law. They're not reading the prophets. They're not reading hardly anything as a whole, as a community. But somehow, Daniel found the law of the prophets, I should say, and he found this prophecy, or at least he knew it, of Jeremiah 70 years. And he said, wait a minute, we're in captivity, but God says we're coming out. So this is one of the things you prepare yourself in a shaking, is you think about the future, that you're going to make it through the shaking, through the tearing. And so he did. You remember that chapter 9 of Daniel? He repents. 19 times, I think it's in that passage. He repents 19 times, doesn't blame anybody, doesn't blame the religious, doesn't blame the political, doesn't blame anybody. He says, we have sinned. And the angel said to him, from the moment you set your heart to pray this way, I was released. So when you are in a trial, blame game does not work. Afflictions, preparing for shakings is not blaming others for the crisis. It is another thing that in the shaking, regardless of how it got there, we got to get out of this place. And the Holy Spirit will lead you out of this place. And he's going to restore us. That is why we have to love these truths that are in the Word of God. And the marriage supper of the Lamb with his bride is a reminder that God has the final word. His plans will stay intact. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's what the word says. So we're going to push toward that. Persevere through the pain, guys. The people that will make it are able to overcome their own pain. They don't stop doing the work of the Lord had for them. Paul was stoned. He had to do all these things, but he kept persevering. I want you to catch that. There's a place in the Lord that we have to go where we just trust him and understand the Lord says, and the Lord sees what we're doing. Remember in Revelation 3:8, he says, the Lord says to him, I know your works. The Lord's watching what we're doing. He knows what we're doing, and it matters to him. No one may know all that you do for the Lord, but he knows. No one must see how much you pray and you intercede and you work hard for the kingdom. God does. And whatever you do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not to men, Colossians 3:23 says. Jeremiah's work was only for the Lord. He had a hard message, and no one wanted to receive it. They laughed at him. They scorned him. They threw him in a pit. And he says in the 7th chapter, 27th verse, therefore you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call on them, but they will not answer you. Yet he continued. See, one of the things preparing for shaking is that you don't get off the mark. You stay on your mark. You keep doing what's put before you. You have this faith to believe. Let me pray for you as we close out this teaching. I hope this application portion of that word has helped you. I don't like trials. I don't like afflictions any more than anybody else. But if I have the principles of God, I can go through them when the shaking happens, when the tearing goes on, and I know it's for my good and it's for the future to give me a hope. May it do the same for you. Father, I pray for every listener today that they would take these words and make them their own, that they would see their future is brighter than their presence. Lord, I bless them today when the tearing and shaking comes, that they will not faint, but they will hold fast to your word. In the name of Yeshua, amen. I'll see you tomorrow. Well, thanks for listening. We are still in our Isaiah 62 fast. Go to our website, ChristianCentersReport.com, slide down to the icon, and click there and follow us. We're doing that every day at noon, Central Time, Monday through Saturday, and then Sundays at 7 p.m. Central Time, as we pray for Israel. Thank you, each and one of you that have been sowing into our ministry and blessing us. You can do that on our app as well. You can see our products, and you can also see everything we do on our platforms. Well, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.